This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. After last year's May 16th tornado in St. Louis, the role of the City Emergency Management Agency was brought into sharp focus. An external review by a local law firm acknowledged that the agency, known as CEMA, was short-staffed and under-resourced, but said those factors weren't the cause of what it called multiple cascading failures during the tornado. The then CEMA commissioner was placed on leave and eventually fired. For a little more than a month, there's been a new person in that role. His name is Greg Favor, and he's a longtime public servant. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Rachel Lippman talked with him, and for the rest of today's show, we're going to listen to their conversation. Rachel first asked him what drew him back to city employment.
So 2026 is 26 years for me in public safety, minus 6 or 7 months I spent in the private sector in a senior role at a Fortune 25 company. And I have always been drawn. When I was in high school at CBC, I knew my senior year that I was going to become a firefighter somewhere. I spent the first several years out in Warrensburg, Missouri as a paid union firefighter. And as soon as I had the opportunity to come back to St. Louis and work for my hometown fire department, I jumped on the chance, came back and did that for like you said, about a decade before going to the state and then running some other emergency management organizations in the area. And I came back to the city, one, because I am a proud city resident. I've lived in South City my whole life. I care deeply about the success of the city, both as the city and as the hub, the economic engine of the region and the state. If the city does well, the region and the state does well. There have long been needed investments in our public safety architecture, not just at CEMA, but across the board. And I think what the tornado certainly highlighted was, as devastating as it was an opportunity for policymakers, for lawmakers, for public safety professionals to come in and say, okay, there are some things that we could be doing. There are some improvements that we could make in both policy and practice that would improve our city resiliency. Personally, I know a lot of the key players in the city right now, including Director Dace, the director of public safety, who I knew when he was a police major. I worked on the fire chief's command staff when I was at the fire department, so I have a great relationship with Chief Jankerson, and on down the line. And it felt like a time when the opportunity was provided to me. It felt like a time to actually come in and have some years where we can get some really substantive work in on an area that desperately needs it and is really important to our public safety.
In many of those roles that you held with the fire department and after you were at the state, you did work closely with the City Emergency Management Agency. You've been involved in some of the emergency response for years. How has your time so far leading this agency reshaped your understanding of that agency?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I was on the fire department, I did a lot of special event planning, special operations planning, planning for large events, and then working alongside our public safety partners across the region, whether that was the DMAT team, the police department, and CEMA. I think if you were to ask me last September or October when I was first approached about interest in taking this job, I would have told you that there were substantive improvements needed in the actual public safety work, the emergency management policy and procedure, the planning process, the mitigation process, the preparedness process. Those were things that I had seen needed adjustment when I was at the fire department, certainly when I was at the state level. What I can tell you now, having just finished my fourth full week with the agency, is that there are substantive organizational pieces that have not been in place that need to be in place. So this is if we step back off of the public safety ledge and think about, you know, just a response capability, a planning capability, we are talking about foundational policies, procedures, and practices that we would have in any agency, whether it was public safety or not. We have to go sort of that far back, dig into the bedrock, and in this essentially a rebuild process, make sure that all of that is aligned with national best practice, because it isn't right now. There is something called the Emergency Management Accreditation Process. It's called EMAP, and it's 74 standards that if you want to get accredited for emergency management as a city or a county or a region, you have to meet all of those standards. Now, I don't know if St. Louis actually wants to go for accreditation itself. It's an expensive process. Most cities have a full-time person who just does that. But these do represent some of the best standards in emergency management. So if we're going to rebuild, we should be rebuilding towards those standards. I asked the team when I came in to do a self-assessment of where we were. What can we deploy out today? What is ready today? Not what's sitting in a draft, not what we had a meeting one time, but that, you know, we didn't bring it to fruition. What can we deploy today out of the EMAP standards? And I believe it was five out of the 74 of the national standards SEMA meets, right? So roughly 6%. Another metric we have there's 37 sort of critical issues that you want within emergency management. Right now, the team, and this is the team's assessment. So this is the folks that have been in the organization for at least a couple of years, know where the files are, know what the planning processes look like. Of those 30 critical issues, I believe we have 7 that we currently meet, so about 23-ish%. And I think that highlights and shows the reality of the structural rebuild that needs to occur. When we have 5 out of 74 standards for EMAP, it's an issue. And there's, you know, the remaining 68, 69 are not nice to haves. They're need to have. So we're going to start building towards those standards.
From a practical standpoint, for those who are not steeped in emergency planning, what does it mean for a resident that the city of St. Louis falls so far short of these best practices?
Well, I would say that we generally have very capable, and I recognize my bias here. I was a first responder in the city for a lot of years. I've worked in every neighborhood in the city. I would say that we have a lot of capacity in our frontline response agencies. We have very strong police and fire departments here that are able to marshal a lot of resources to where they're needed. We have excellent mutual aid practices where we can bring, as you saw during the tornado, when we could bring specialized teams in. And we also have a very strong regional collaboration through the Homeland Security STARS that's run out of East West Gateway. So I think there's been a lot of cover down and preparedness that has occurred sort of by nature and naturally, and we've not taken the time to formalize it. I've talked to the team a lot. Like, we are not going to reinvent the wheel. SEMA has been underfunded and understaffed since its inception, and that's been true for every commissioner, myself included. Right? We know what right size looks like. We know about how many people we should have for a city our size. And I've been very clear with both the mayor's staff, the mayor, and the director of public safety that we either need to right-size the organization so that we are handling what an emergency management agency should be handling, or we need to right-size the mission, and we need to pull back from some of the things that the city would like us to or needs us to do. But one of the two things need to happen. We can't continue to have less than a fourth of the staff that we need and continue to accept things to do. It's an impossible calculation. The push and pull on that is just not sustainable.
That's Greg Favor, the new commissioner of St. Louis's Emergency Management Agency. We'll get back to his conversation with STLPR's Rachel Lippman after a short break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to STLPR reporter Rachel Lippman's conversation with Greg Favor, the new commissioner of the City Emergency Management Agency. He's been in that job for just over a month after the agency's previous leader was fired following criticism of the city's handling of last May's EF3 tornado.
How far off of what would be needed to truly have a city emergency management agency staffed and funded to the level you would want to see are we right now?
So CEMA, as it stands today at the end of January 26, is 6 full-time employees, 3 of which, one of which is me, are filled, right? We have 3 open positions, which means that we're going into severe weather season in, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, with half of the staff that we had on board when the tornado hit last year, right? This is not great math. This is, if you want to know what keeps me up at night, it's you know, we are holding this together right now, and we know what right looks like, and we're moving towards it. But right now, today, we are not in a great spot. Ideally, and what I've shared with the mayor is we need at minimum 11 to 12 people to manage just the basic trains of emergency management for a city this size. Best practice would put us at about 15. So if we're at 6 full-time employees today, you're looking at, you know, 1.25 times more employees to get to that 15 number. And that would allow us to meet the full mission needs of what the city has asked CEMA to do in the past and what we should be doing according to national standards. But that minimum threshold is 11 or 12.
What makes more sense given the budget situation in the city of St. Louis and all of the needs? Is it right-sizing the staff or right-sizing the mission?
I would say right-sizing the staff is absolutely where I would put my marker if I was the budget director. Again, recognizing my bias, and I've worked in the city. I realize that, you know, everybody is short-staffed. Everybody would like more to do more. But we are on the backside of a multi-billion dollar disaster. CEMA should have been growing for the last 20 years at least, if not 30 years. These are positions that are national best practice everywhere you go and have set. We've just not elected as a city to put time and effort into this. There is a ton of capacity that emergency management, separate from fire and police, brings to public safety. And I want to make sure that we are being very protective of that lane in the road. The police department is great at what they're supposed to be doing. The fire department is great at what they're supposed to be doing. They are not, by trade and training, emergency planners day to day. They are not necessarily command and control in the way that an emergency management agency should be. So I would like to see us expand our staff so that we can appropriately do what other cities our size are doing and have done to a very high degree of success, and use that as part of our ongoing public safety investment.
What are the other options if the city cannot right size the staff?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer without knowing what mission priorities would remain in our wheelhouse. As a Navy officer, we often talk about bringing the right weapon to the right fight, and it's hard to say what options would exist, not knowing what fight that city leadership would want CEMA to take on. I will say that there are some pathways where other cities have combined emergency management in with either their police or fire departments. You saw that in the Carmody report that was released last August. I believe that was one of the recommendations. That is an option for sure. I know it's something that continues to be discussed in the mayor's office. I don't exactly have insight into where the thinking is on that. But there is some potential in that space for, let's say that you moved emergency management as a function over into the fire department, let's say. And to be clear, we've seen this before when the park rangers left Parks and Forestry Department and came under the police department. When the city marshals left where they were housed and actually came under the auspice of the police department. We did this with EMS back in 97, 98 when the fire department took over EMS services. EMS, in this case, is able to use the resources, whether that's the training academy, whether that's the props, whether that's the personnel. They're able to essentially, as part of the agency, use all tools open to the agency. One of the things that I would love to see at SEMA is having a GIS coordinator. We have a ton of stuff that would benefit. We have a ton of emergency planning that would benefit from having a GIS coordinator. I can't tell you that that would be in my first five hires. It's a great to have, but it's not a need to have. The fire department has a GIS planner. If there was an environment where we were integrated as a division within the fire department, that is some bleed over from an agency that we're already paying that position. We already have a public safety GIS planner that we could benefit from. The one thing that I'll be really clear on that is emergency management is not first response. And
it's having things in place for the first responders to do in the event of a disaster.
Absolutely. It is exceptional planning. It is mutual aid agreements. It is applying. We do actually turn on. Emergency management switches on when there is a major incident. We helped with that fourth alarm fire that happened on Saturday at the apartment complex. There are some pieces in there, like reaching out to Metro to get warming buses for displaced residents, calling the water department, making sure that making sure that Ameren is aware and sending crews to go. There are ancillary pieces on big events that the fire department who's fighting the fire can't necessarily manage at the moment. So SEMA does switch on when we have major events. We've been deeply involved in the snow response for late January. And if we were to go under a different city agency to better utilize resources across that agency, which is a very valid argument, we would need to maintain our mission focus and our lane in the same way that EMS and fire have two independent lanes, in the same way that the park rangers are still park rangers working under the police department. I would want to make sure that as a discipline, as the important role that emergency management does play, we have that carved out for ourselves.
I am sure you have read that Carmody report on the May 16th siren failure multiple times, backwards, forwards, probably have it memorized. What questions to you were left unanswered by that report that you would have wanted to have been asked?
I think they used a really good line early in the report, and they said it was cascading failures that led to the results out of emergency management on the night of the tornado and the immediate aftermath. I would say that in the last 4 weeks of being at the agency, that makes a lot of sense to me. What I think is left unanswered in the report, and what is my job to work with the director of public safety, the mayor's office, the team at SEMA today, is to figure out how far back those cascading failures go, work to uncover them, and then work to put them in place. And I think this is true at every single level. So we talked about the foundational level, like just having basic policies that should be in place that aren't. We need a strategy. This is one of the things that I'm working on by the end of my first quarter. We need a strategy document that talks about where we're going in the next 3 to 5 years. It doesn't mean that we're going to achieve everything, but we need to have a North Star. And then we need to tighten up both our day-to-day activities, where we're spending our time, what we're doing on the operational side of the house, and we need to rebuild a lot of the partnerships that have been left dormant, because we will always be a small agency. We're never going to be 60 people in emergency management. We rely on our partners, and I have a lot of outward-facing work to bring partners back into the fold who aren't necessarily there right now and focus the team on 4 to 5 critical mission priorities that we are going to just work as hard as we can until they are a best practice. Everything else is going to have to start we're going to have to either better justify or push it off to the side while we build capacity.
What is the status of the city's new siren system?
So I want to make sure that I stay in my lane, and I want to make sure that I'm following the mayor's executive order on the sirens themselves. The sirens in the city are now maintenanced, maintained, and operated by the St. Louis Fire Department. I know that they've made significant investments across, I want to say it was 57, 60 of the, and I think we have a total of 61 or 62 tornado sirens. They've made those investments since July of last year, and the fire chief and I continue to figure out better ways to improve not only the maintenance and execution of the system when it matters, but also redundancy. One of the things that's been set up, and I like this as a South City resident who lives kind of close to the county line, I would often hear sirens in Maplewood go off before the city sirens. What we have added in the city is, one, the sirens are now activated by GIS. So anytime that the National Weather Service draws the map and says, okay, you're in a tornado warning, those sirens are going to go off without a human needing to necessarily be there. We have set our system up in the city so that any sirens that go off within the 270 and east range, anytime St. Louis County sets theirs off, we are going to set ours off as well. We know that tornadoes are not going to stop at the Skinker line. They're not going to pick up and say, you know, I'm not going into the city. We're using that little bit of buffer room from the county sirens to give our residents even that much more knowledge and forewarning. The other piece that I would say is the non-manual activation, which is new. The fire department purchased a piece of equipment that again, works off of GIS. It pings the National Weather Service constantly. As soon as the National Weather Service says your city county of St. Louis is in a tornado warning, those sirens should activate automatically. If for some reason they don't, there is a command and control center in Fire Alarm Dispatch, the communication center for the fire department, that can be manually activated, and updates that are happening this spring and summer across the system will allow for additional activation points from, you know, the fire chief will essentially carry a football. The deputy chiefs will essentially carry a football. I will have a football that will essentially be like, oh, there's been a catastrophic failure at Fire Alarm Communications. We can activate these sirens from an additional six other senior leadership role in public safety. So we're working on building not only the maintenance of the system back up, but also redundancy moving forward.
Today's segment was produced by Rachel Littman.
Production assistance from our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.